I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. We have everybody here tonight, which is good. Next on the agenda is citizen input. I'd like to read something tonight because maybe to help citizens understand, I was hoping we'd have more people here tonight, but on citizen input and communications with the council. Before we start that, addressing the council, any person desiring to address the council by oral communication shall first secure permission of the mayor. Preference will be given to those persons who have notified the city clerk of their desire to address council by noon of the Thursday immediately preceding the Monday council meeting so that their name may be placed on the agenda. The agendas may include a time to call for citizen input. Citizens may be directed by the mayor to go to the microphone, which we do want you to do when you want to address us, and divide issues for better, The mayor may direct the citizen to restate questions or divide issues for better understanding by the council and the mayor. Council members or the mayor may request further information on the subject from the citizens. Questions will not be answered directly by council members or the mayor at the time the statement is made. If a response is appropriate, it will be provided either in writing or oral. Manner of addressing the council, time limit. Each person addressing the council shall state his or her name into the mic, and each person addressing the council shall be limited to the presentation of 5 minutes. All remarks shall be addressed to the council as a body and not to any individual member thereof. No gestures of an intimidating or threatening nature, such as finger pointing, shall be made while addressing the council or while in attendance during council meeting. The city has a right to prohibit displaying or handling of knives, firearms, or other weapons, and anyone believed to be intoxicated will be asked by the appropriate authority to leave and will be escorted out of the building. Personal and slanderous remarks. Any person making personal, impudent, or potentially slanderous remarks, or who shall become boisterous while addressing the council, may be ordered to leave the meeting by the presiding officer. Written communications. Interested parties or their authorities, representatives, may address council by written communication in regard to any city-related matter at any time by direct mail or by addressing the same to the city clerk, who will distribute such correspondence to the council members. Any written communications to be distributed during a council meeting shall be given to the city clerk for distribution. That comes out of the, what's that out of, Eamon?
Council adopted rules and procedures.
Okay, council adopted rules and procedures so that people understand that, because we want people to come to the council. And if you have concerns or things that you want to bring before the council, you know, we want you to do that. And you get allowed up to 5 minutes, like it says, and we want to encourage that. So we want to start citizen input. If you raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, and you get up to 5 minutes. Mr. Crozier, you want to come up and state your name and address?
My name is Michael Crozier. I live at 625 11th Avenue North. I'm a deaf person, so I'm using your thing here. I'd like to complain about this, okay? It doesn't work very well. It's not very good. You need something with headphones, and you need something that's got a sanitary earbud. When I first came in here tonight, if I'd have used that, I'd been exposed to bloodborne diseases from whoever used this before. So your hearing device doesn't really meet the ADA requirements. So, you know, we would like to also take part in this, but we would also like to be able to hear what's going on. Thank you. Oh, and I left you some questions about an expenditure, and since I don't hear very well, I appreciate you put them or give me the answers in writing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Crozier. And thank you for letting us know about that little hearing device. Any other citizen input? Okay, do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
Make make that motion.
Second.
Mark Snyder first, Dan second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Okay, consent agenda. I hear a motion on that.
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first.
I'll second.
Charles second. Any discussion? Mark?
The consent agenda includes the final payment to MRM who did our Main Street project. I took a stance that we shouldn't pay that. I asked for a breakdown of what we've already paid them versus the contract. I never received that. So I'm holding my stand and voting against the consent agenda that includes that payment.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, duly noted. Okay, thank you. Current business, 4.1, public hearing on the 2013 revenue sources.
2012.
Oops. Yep, you're right, 2012. Thank you. Okay, public hearing process. Please bear with us as we process through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:07 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the revenue sources for the 2012 budget. This public hearing is required by law, and I will now ask the staff to report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight's public hearing is devoted to hearing the projected revenue sources for 2012. And if we can get those on the screen. What we're going to review tonight is just in general, the general fund, the street, and then the enterprise funds, water, sewer, solid waste, the tourism funds, and the real estate excise tax, and then the big one, the utility tax. So we'll share with you the beginning fund balances, which is really our ending fund balance. As you can see, like for the general fund, our beginning fund balance for the general fund is 1.2. I think you've got the wrong one up there, Sam. That's 2011, we need 2012. It should be 1.4 in the general fund. Yeah, it looks like it, 2012, 1.4. So you can see the beginning fund balance in the general fund, for example, is 1.4. Really, that's our ending fund balance from this year, which becomes our beginning fund balance for the ensuing year. So what we have done is gone through with each department, calculated their expenditures through the end of the year, come up with an estimated beginning fund balance or ending fund balance for this year. So if you look at the general fund, it's 1.4. The revenue sources for that are taxes, licenses, permits, intergovernmental, charges for services, miscellaneous, others. Transfers in, which is normally a big one. If you can move it up, Stan. So, and then new revenues. That's new revenues, operating costs for, or revenues projected for 2012. So if you add beginning fund balance and the new revenues, you should get total resources for 2012. So we have a general fund estimated revenue of 5.6 for 2012 in the general fund. Any question on how that works? Just add beginning fund balance, add new revenues, you get total resources. So we can go back up to the top. In the street fund, and by the way, I wanted to share with you what our fund balances were last year, so you have some comparison. We started 2011 with 1.2, and we're going to start 2012 with 1.4. The street fund, we're going to start at 473,000. Last year, we started it at $74,000. So you can see we're improving again all the revenue sources to the bottom line, Stan. For the street fund, take beginning fund balance plus new revenues, all of these resources, and we end up with total in the street fund of 1.7. Let's go to the next fund. Water fund. Now, water, sewer, and solid waste are all enterprise funds. They're unto themselves. They can loan money out, but we can't take money and supplant the general fund, for example. So water fund, we're starting at 1.1. And last year, actually, this is down just a little bit. The last year, we started at 1.2 and change. So we're almost at 1.2 there. Water fund, and then, of course, charges for services over 2. So we add 2 plus beginning fund balance. Total resource of water fund is 3.2. Move to sewer, we have $224,000 to start the fund. Last year we had 143, so in every fund we're either maintaining or improving, and we had 916, which is primarily charges for services. We end at total resources at 1.1 for the sewer fund. Solid waste, some of you weren't here several years ago. Our solid waste fund was in trouble, and the city council did a 3-year ramp up. Some of you remember that. And we caught up in 2 years, and we've been in the positive ever since then. So we did not impose the 3rd-year ramp up, and this I'm talking about 7 years ago. So our solid waste fund begins at $158,000. Of course, charges for services, just over $1 million. So you have your million plus beginning fund balance. So it looks like we're going to have 1.1 million total resources for the solid waste fund. The tourism fund, which is our smallest fund, but for some reason we always seem to spend the most time on it. And this is relative to the allocations requested by different agencies and groups throughout the city. It's commonly referred to as a 2% fund, which it isn't anymore. But it starts out at 41. And remember the council, hold on a second. The council has established that we will not go below 40,000 in that fund. 40,000 is a reserve. So that council, if something comes up during the year, council can fund that for tourism. So you can see the revenue sources, total new is 46,002 for a total of 87,000. So that means about 47,000 of this 80 will come to you for requests for allocations from different clubs and organizations. And we will look at those on the 14th of November. The REET, which is the real estate excise tax, starts the beginning fund balance at 392. And for 2011, it was 420. So we use some of that, I believe, for the street fund or the street project. Revenue sources and a bottom line of 430,000 remains in that fund, the revenue, the real estate excise tax fund. And the last fund is the utility tax fund, which is interesting because it generates, generates $1.4 million in taxes. That's one of our big revenue sources. We're starting the fund at 439. And then we go to the bottom line, and we have almost $2 million to start that fund relative to resources for 2012. So that's a summary and recap of the revenues by fund for 2012.
Thank you, Raymond. I will now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please stand and state your name and address in the microphone for the record. I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Mr. Crozier, you want to come back up, please?
I have just a few questions.
Can you put that back up?
This street fund, $673,964. How much of that was the was a leftover balance from the house end gas tax that goes into that street fund? That's my first question. The other question is, how much money this year is going to come into the street fund through that source of revenue? This was put together in 1984 specifically for doing residential streets. How much of it has been used in our current street project that was Main Street? We didn't allow for that because when we originally set that fund up and that money to go in there, there was a thing called Urban Arterial Board that supported all the main arterials in town. And main arterials in town had a source of funds through the gas tax. So there was supposed to be two separate funds, not just one fund, the way we originally set it up, the way testimony was given here. And there was supposed to be, once we got the streets in the residential area under control, money used for things like safety sidewalks and other stuff. A pretty wide variety of use. It should be a matter of your recorded meeting minutes from about September 1985. But this whole council chamber was filled with 250 people, and I think Mr. Deaver was one of them, when we came here. So I was wondering where that money is flowing to and from, and Mike can probably answer that.
Okay, thank you. Any other citizens? Okay. Does the staff want to respond to the public comments or questions?
Brief response, Mayor. The part of the question was the gas tax, where is that? That's identified on the tax line as 460-some-odd thousand. The laws back in 84 and 85 have changed a lot on our revenue structures and revenue sources. Today's use is subject to city council discretion, so council can decide what to do with your own money, where you want to put it.
Okay. Do any of the council members have comments or questions at this time? Mark?
Speaking of that, I have a couple too. Speaking of the street fund, the transfer in, what is that and what fund is that out of?
The transfer in right here?
Yes.
Can you raise that up a little bit, Stan? The council has established a percentage of different utility or taxes that will go to each fund, and the $600,000 represents part of, and I believe it's 50% of what went to the general fund. So that's as much as I can tell you without Mike being here on the breakdown.
50% of what? I didn't know.
Of taxes received to the city for the general fund.
Mm.
It comes from the general fund to streets.
Okay. The other one was on the beginning balance of the utility fund. What was that for 2011?
The utility tax fund beginning fund balance for 2011 was $224,833. And for 2012, it's $39,000.
I mean, it looks really good, but I need to kind of temper it a little bit in that we got a $950,000 windfall that was unbudgeted. And I'm not seeing that really show up as it should be an increase in ending balances for 2011, which is actually this beginning balance for 2012. Is that included in the utility fund?
Yes, as you recall, we discussed with the council the use of the utility tax fund and the natural gas windfall that we did receive, and it was 900 plus thousand, really was a saving grace for the utility tax fund this past year. So it's all reflected there.
because if not for that, we'd have a huge negative on the utility tax fund to the tune of $500,000, which to the minus, which is not what we budgeted for. So to me, that calculates out. We spent $500,000 more than budget.
I'm not sure of that, Mark. I follow your logic, though. I'd have to get with Mike and see how he posted the natural gas tax.
Okay. The other one was when you were describing the tourism fund, you said that is not the 2% fund anymore. Are we just giving it a new term? Is it not still from 2% from hotel motel?
It is, but it's increased to 4%.
Really?
So it's not 2% anymore.
And we still only budgeting, I mean, $45,000, we've been budgeting that the last several years.
Yep.
It doubled to 4% and that doesn't go up any?
No, you can see either our heads to beds have declined, or some, I don't know the reason, but you can, that's actual numbers. Or those are estimates for the revenue, yes.
Did I vote on increasing that to 4%?
I don't know if you did or not. I don't know if you were here that night. I don't know if it went to council, maybe it was a state issue. I don't know, Mark.
Wow. So our hotels and motels are charging sales tax plus a 4% tourism fund tax.
That's my understanding. As of several years ago, it hasn't been recent.
Really? I guess I'd like more details on that one, because did you all know that?
I knew it. Knew it was more than what it had been. That's why they don't call it 2% tax anymore. You look at Othello. Like I said, we don't have as many motels as we used to have. The number of beds are down. So even if you increase that, it still has went backwards, technically, as far as what we've got for our motels and whatnot. I think if you look at other cities and whatnot, your tax will be that much or more. I think we're over the line at a lower level than a lot of cities are at the present time.
Any other council members have comments or questions?
And that tax should actually go down after school remodel and building are done.
There you go.
It's got to go down. Yeah. By next year at this time, the number should change.
Okay. So that's no other council questions then? Okay. I will now close the public hearing at 7:24 p.m. Okay. All right. Here. Okay, 4.2, consideration of renewal of contract for professional services, the Wesley Group. Eamon?
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
The City of Othello has contracted for professional services with the Wesley Group since the mid-1980s. First with Roy Wesley, which is the father of Kevin Wesley, and since the mid-90s, late 90s, with Kevin Wesley, Roy's son. The contract for professional services is relative to collective bargaining negotiations, unfair labor practices, and representation at mediation and arbitrations. The contract has not been increased, the hourly wage has not been increased since the mid-1980s. So you can see it's been well over 20 years. The contract, Mr. Wesley, the Wesley Group, excuse me, is asking that the city approve a contract amendment from $65 an hour to $100 an hour. And that's basically, and there's a mileage rate also, excuse me, 58.5 cents. Those are really the only two changes in the contract. From time to time, Mr. Sport, when you review the bills, you ask, who is the Wesley Group? And this is what the Wesley Group is all about.
So I know who they are.
Sorry?
I know who they are.
Okay. We would ask that you consider approving the amendment to the Westlake Group contract.
Questions for Raymond? Go ahead.
I have some comments. Since the mid-1980s, when I was on council, I've wondered why we employ the Westlake Group. I think now's a good time to take a moment to reflect on what value they add and what they really do that we can't do. And as far as I'm concerned, they don't do anything that we can't do. When I was in negotiations and they were here, they'd all show up in suits. We'd sit here and write a number down, and they'd walk it over to the union, and then they'd come back with another number. And I don't get why you pay somebody $100 an hour to do that. I think it's just a big, massive paradigm we're in that's not effective for negotiating nowadays. It's unnecessary, and we just need to put the big boy pants on and walk over there ourselves and give the union a number. So as far as I'm concerned, we should just cancel this and do it ourselves.
Don't they also represent us in mediation, not only union negotiations, but mediations?
Mediations and arbitrations also.
Arbitrations,
yes.
And which an attorney could do for almost twice that amount, mm-hmm. if we had got into arbitration. And so I think we're still getting a good deal out of that.
I wish it was as simple to negotiate as Mark, you indicate. It used to be. I agree, it's gotten very complicated. I wish it was as simple as batting a number back and forth, but it's not. It's every little inch, every little issue down to which baseball cap you wear. And that was part of our last negotiations.
I don't understand why we can't do it. I mean, and I don't think, I read somewhere that the average employee pays 28% of the medical insurance, and I believe our union workers pay like 0%. So I don't know that they're accomplishing that much in negotiations to boot, besides just walking back and forth with numbers.
Ken, you got a question or comment?
Well, I don't know. I sat on that negotiation board for several years here in the city, and I've sat on other negotiation boards with unions and whatever. And you just can't negotiate that way. You've got to have a person that goes between them. It just doesn't work the other way. I mean, maybe you can do it maybe in the perfect world, but when you get out there, it doesn't work that way. And I think we need somebody to be that go between the two of us, negotiate it, and come back. And you've got to work it on both sides. You can't do it the other way.
I've sat on the negotiations table on both sides for the city. I sat on for the employee side when I worked for the maintenance crew, and I've sat on it this last negotiations. And you cannot not have a representative that knows every little in and out of the state law anymore. Their representatives do, and you have to have a representative that knows all of those things. And we had to have that this last time we went into mediation.
Aren't they getting up above it, so they're getting $100 an hour for driving here?
No.
I'm sorry, say $100 an hour for what?
No, it says shall be reimbursed one half the hourly rate. One half.
So $50 an hour for driving here.
Out of Richmond?
Yes, at half the hourly rate is their travel time, their travel cost.
I don't see the value, that's all I'll say.
Is that the same as what they got before? Half of their hourly rate plus 58?
I believe it is. We can look if you want. I've got the old contract, but I believe it's the same.
The old contract was half of the 65.
Yeah.
Any further questions or comments? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make the motion that we approve the Westlake contract.
I'll second.
Ken Johnson first, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. 4.3, Adams County Fire District Number 5, Third Quarter Report. Chief Liebachen, sorry, stumbled there for a second.
Good evening.
Hello, Chief.
It's great to be here again. Third quarter has come and went, and for the fire incidents, fire alarms, we've had 40 calls for the third quarter. The city business inspections, commercial inspections, numbered 56 for the third quarter. Staff trainings were 6, and some of the outside trainings we've listed are our EVAP and driver courses that we've done. EVAP being accident prevention in an emergency vehicle, both classroom and a driving course. We've got a new driving course, very competitive for firefighters to go through and satisfy our requirements. Yes, Mr. Sport can attest to. The schools have had 14 fire drills this quarter, and we've had one station tour. Year to date, the numbers were 87 for alarms, and our normal or average response time, 4 minutes and 15 seconds for the first unit to arrive on scene. So, real happy with that again. When the Main Street project was going on and we had the overpass down here under construction, our times ran out a little bit longer than that. But this last quarter's been a good quarter for response time. Some of the things that happened this quarter, some of our programs, the hose testing was completed. We do hose testing annually. We test the 1¾-inch attack lines, as well as the 2.5-inch Morris supply line. Pressurize it to 250 pounds, and it holds that for approximately 5 minutes. And if we look for any slippage in the couplers or any swelling of a weak spot in the hose, you'll get a bubble like you would in a tire. Fortunately, we've had all the hose pass this year, no failures of any type. And a new program we've started this year is UL listing testing of our ground ladders. All the ground ladders on the engines are taken off. They're placed over a rack and they're weight tested. They're inspected visually and relabeled. And if they pass, they're certified. If they're not, if they don't, we fix them in-house. We had 3 ladders that needed work. And from anywhere from a small ding in a rung has to be replaced to, we had one ladder that was a relatively new ladder, but the attic hooks were undersized on it, had to be replaced. Those are taken care of in-house, so all the ladders are within spec now. I'll move on. Board of Commissioners for Adams County 5 has opted to take the CPI increase this year. Mike hasn't got back to me on what number that is.
It's last in our budget. Excuse me.
Okay.
It's on our budget, Chief.
Last year, I think it was 2.6% last year. And then at our meeting, our annual meeting, Council Member Spore was there. We talked about the water meter issue that will come up later tonight. I'll save that for then. We can talk about it then. One of the other things that came up at the meeting was several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, you started saving for a replacement of a quick response vehicle for the fire department. Currently, we have a Dodge 1-ton, it's a 1999 model, and it's still in very good condition, still very usable. What we've done with that is taken it out of the day-to-day operation. We've put it into a reserve rescue unit, which has jaws of life on it. It's got numerous hand tools for extrication. Still has a water tank on it and a pump. Very versatile truck, very usable. Life as a reserve unit should be extended a good 10 years. It's got 50,000 miles on it, so it's still very usable. The other vehicle that we like to talk about is a 2002 Crown Vic, which was one of the police department's vehicles. It was handed down to the fire department a few years back. And we've used it for fire inspector to do inspections with around town. We've used it for a command vehicle. And it's seen better years. It's got some rust on it. It's got some brake problems that would be costly to repair. And it's got some other mechanical issues. What we would like to propose to the city, and it'd be a money issue for the city in the long run, not to replace the quick response vehicle. The district will run the quick responses like we've been doing. Our district vehicles are a little more versatile. They have a little more capability with phone application on fires. We'd go ahead and run our quick response to city and district calls like we have been for the last year. And we'd like the city to consider replacing the Crown Vic with a new SUV type vehicle that would be used by the inspector, be used by the duty crew, be used for traveling out of the city for trainings, things like this. More versatile for us, user friendly for us, and planning for the future with it. I've got just the initial cost on it today. The contract came out a few days ago. Initial cost is $27,000. By the time we equip it with what factory options would be needed, and it would be roughly $32,500. And then it takes some wiring and a light bar, some miscellaneous items. And I don't have a price on that, but I can work that up if the city would consider an SUV. The cost to replace 8114, back when the city first started saving for it, it was estimated to be $70,000 to $80,000 to replace it. It's more like $108,000 to $110,000 right now to replace it, today's market. If you have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer anything.
Well, we'll take your thought, Eamon. I'm going to get that in our first Tuesday of November, have a workshop. Mm-hmm. Why don't we bring that up and council can talk about it. That's our workshop over the budget that is being brought before them for expenses.
All right.
And we do appreciate the relationship we have between the two of us. Any other council have questions for the chief?
I got one.
Yeah.
How are we feeling on volunteers?
Right now the roster is at 33.
How many actually respond out of that 33?
There are three at college right now, I believe. And so we've probably got 25 that are very, more or less, very active, and then another five that are borderline. But that's not uncommon with any volunteer base.
And I think
we are trying to hit a reasonable number to have a class this year. We did some recruitment at the fair. Hope to have some good numbers there.
I think another good way to respond to that is it's very seldom do we take the prerogative to do a second tone out for additional manpower needed. And I think where you start seeing, if you have a regular tone and are short and have a tone for additional manpower, which that kind of ups it a step. Well, people start leaving critical meetings, they start leaving their workplace that they manage, and they start coming down for a response for additional manpower. Now, if we do a tone out for additional manpower and we're still short, that's when I think we start getting the critical numbers as to how many we have. And I don't think we've really ever got there where that second tone out hasn't brought the necessary personnel.
No, we haven't got there yet. And I hope we don't, but you need to realize that the way our society is now, where people volunteer, like it used to be when you joined the department, Mark, or when people don't realize volunteering, you do that with no expectation of something in return. You do it to benefit the community. That's what our society needs to get back to, is giving of oneself.
And it's not easy nowadays with the training. In fact, he talked about the driver training. After 30 years of being on the department, they keep upping the standards. I can't drive a big fire truck now, because biggest truck I've drove, I have never driven farm trucks or anything. I drive my Dodge, and they have you do a serpentine backup in these pumper rigs. I literally can't do it. I'm just not that experienced with them. So there's quite a bit of training involved nowadays and standards to meet. And well, maybe not in our lifetimes, but someday it might come to the day where there's no such thing as a volunteer firefighter, because they don't just fight fires. They're training every Monday night and having to meet these higher standards that are insurance companies and LNI and everybody are setting. Is that accurate, Gary?
It is. And we are raising the bar to meet those standards. And our volunteers are responding. Some are reluctant, but they are responding. And we see a difference in them.
Now, what happened, I don't know if it's been discussed in front of council, we used to have high school kids. Is it nobody under 18 now? Or any,
what's one under 18. Some child labor laws are involved there. So we can't actively use them on a fire. We can use them in some of the support roles that are not a hazard to anyone's health. But once we stopped doing that, our numbers did slow.
Can you still train them if they're under 18, and after they turn the age of 18, they have the training under them?
We've talked about that, and the problem with that is if we get them in and they do the training, there's a insurance
yeah.
issue there. But if they come in and do the training, they get trained up to our standard. We don't cut them any slack or anything. They train up to that standard, and then they're not allowed to use that training. They get discouraged really fast, and we had that happen to our last group. Because we kept them on when we did some changes, and they really got discouraged. And the high school kids are great people. They worked out really well for us. We read about kids in the newspaper all the time. I didn't see that side of them. You saw a better side with the fire department. They were big help, and they were good for our community.
We've had some of those younger kids go on as professional jobs too,
right.
that are doing it now, which is great. And I think with the number that you're running right now, with the standards that they've got to meet, I think that's a really good number. That's a really good dedicated group of people that show up. I know I joined in the early 80s, so did Mark and you, all about the same time, right in the very early 80s. And the only requirement then was just 18 years of age, and they threw you a coat and a helmet, and you come every Monday night to a few classes, and that was it. You know, you were off on the track. I know the standards now have changed completely and a lot stricter, and it takes a very dedicated person a lot of time, a lot of hours, and we think you got a very good crowd down there now that's doing a good job.
We got some really good teachers.
So how do they get paid? They get paid by the month? Is it by the run?
No, they get paid once a year. And
once a
it's
year.
Coming up, it's here in November. They'll get a check for the last 10 months. We started a new system. It's a point system, and it's a pool of money that they earn points, and it's a point schedule that was established last year. Currently, we're reviewing that with a committee of the volunteers, and they are going to propose a change in the point scheduling to, we'll be increasing some points for a given activity and decreasing some other places. But the volunteers are the ones that are setting the point valuations, not the pool valuation though, but they're setting the point valuation. And hopefully this next year will be smoother, but numbers are very close if you look at them to previous years in some cases, as far as pay.
I'd like to clarify, Gary was talking, I'm not sure everybody, maybe you all know, but when he talks about quick response versus command vehicles, the quick responses normally have water. So there's plus and minuses of the commanding officer showing up with a water truck. Is the positive they can start, you know, an initial attack or protect a structure. The downside is they're not commanding. So everybody else is coming in behind them not knowing what to do because they're on the end of a hose. So right now, we probably get both a county quick response as a small truck with water and a command vehicle showing up so they can take command of the issue. And so what he's asking for is a command vehicle, which of course the downside is they could potentially show up without water. Now during the winter, when they have the quick commands on the weekend at home, they don't have water anyway because it just freezes and wouldn't do anything. So when we talk about this on the 4th, that's the difference between quick response and just a command vehicle. I hope that I explained that okay.
That does. And it is a big safety issue to have someone that can stand back from the actual suppression of the fire, stand back and watch a situation develop or make the calls of what the firefighters are going to do, what actions are going to be taken to assure safety.
And he also mentioned that the JAWS is on our old command vehicle. Though that's all backup. We still have a rescue rig that has the first in JAWS and cribbing and all the stuff for extrication. And just, did you run the 8114 with water? Does it have water with it now? Yeah.
It's still a very capable firefighting apparatus.
So when it shows up at an accident scene, it's backup JAWS, plus it has water in case the vehicle catches fire. So
yeah.
I think it's a good utilization of that truck. And they're not just driving around every day as a command vehicle.
Any other questions? Okay, well thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. That was very educational. Okay, 4.4, amendment to the contract with Adams County Fire District number 5 regarding fire suppression. Amen, and Chief Liebacher.
Chief Liebacher and I are gonna kind of tandem this one. We have not rehearsed this, so be on the fly here. You are being asked to consider an amendment to the fire district contract with Adams County regarding fire suppression. The reason for the amendment is basically to clarify water consumption, usage, and accountability of water to the fire station. The city crew recently did some water system improvements there, which resulted in the need for an amendment. The water lines to the fire station, it has one inch line that is metered, and we can account for that. The other is a
four inch line
that goes into the fire station but services the mechanical shop as well. But there is no meter for that except from the street. So you have two sources coming off of one supply, and there's no way to meter the mechanical shop. So in the amendment, as you can read, it has a rate to be charged for usage for the mechanical shop of an average household, and the rates are identified in your amendment. So the accountability of water, not the rate, the money part, but the accountability is at the meter. All water is accounted for, and then the payment by the formula in your amendment plus the 1-inch water line, that only leaves the 4-inch water suppression line, which fills all the rigs, both county and city. So the city mutually benefits from that. So you want to cover the joint meeting yet?
Oh, this was my part. I forgot that.
The city fire council met with my board of fire commissioners, and Mr. Sheldon was there, and Terry from Public Works. We toured the station, and it was more or less an informational meeting. I submitted a letter for proposal for a monetary fee. I'm not sure on the use of water in the shop building. We use it out there for employee issues and maintenance on vehicles, cleaning vehicles, things like that. We also launder our fire gear in the shop, which is all a reasonable use of water out there. But the 4-inch line supplies a 3-inch standpipe in the main station, which is a, basically an interior fire hydrant for us to use throughout the year, including when weather's inclement. We don't want to be doing it on the street, filling, causing ice or traffic issues. So we've asked the city to establish a fee for the shop building and not charge the 4-inch rate for the interior fire hydrant. The Amon drafted a proposal of an amendment for the contract. You have it in front of you, I hope. And it states that it's got a clause in it that we pay the 1-inch meter line for the main station. The monthly fee would be $36.11 for water for the maintenance shop, $23.68 for the sewer usage. It's got a with no additional costs to identify, or as identified in the 4-inch water line, and then it's got a built-in clause for inflation or a cost increase if a citizen or the council establish a normal rate fee for the city, then we would have that as well. Is that based on a percentage? So my board approved this on October 11th and signed two copies for the city. I'm hoping the board or the council will approve it tonight. And the third amendment.
The city fire committee also recommended approval, and this was drafted by our city attorney.
Any other questions? Okay, so do I hear a motion to approve the third amendment to the fire protection agreement?
So moved.
Dan first.
Second.
Gina second. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, then that passes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chief. We appreciate you guys. Okay, 4.5 Motorola contract renewal. Chief Dennegan.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, good evening. The issue before you tonight is a standard maintenance agreement for the year 2012, and it comes along each year at this very time while we're doing our budgeting, which is a good thing, so we can kind of plan on it. A few years back, we upgraded all of the dispatch radio equipment and dispatching for EMS and the fire department. And we spent tens of thousands of dollars on that project to bring all that equipment up to date. Since then, we have entered into a standard maintenance agreement with Motorola, who was the supplier of all the equipment, which is a registered sole source dealer for radio equipment in the state of Washington. So at this time of the year, I get the new updated contract, and basically it outlines all of what Motorola's performance is throughout the year. If our radio system go down, or the ambulance paging system, or the fire department go down, they're right here, they fix all of it. It's very complicated radio and computer software that we don't want to tax our IT people with. I think this would be probably the third year that we've had this contract. This contract is about $200 or $300 more than the previous contract, as all costs are escalating. The whole budgeted contract is $93,81.12. That's what I've put into and requested in our contract line item for our budget. But since this is a contract, it's up to you to be to approve and enter into that. So it will require a motion. I recommend that we do this. It's just a good guarantee that we get the service that we need when we need it. And so if you're willing, then you know, we just need a motion to go ahead and accept and pass the contract, and then I will go ahead and sign that and get that sent off to Motorola.
Question? Is the tech that services necessarily out of Moses Lake, or do they come from various cities?
Moses Lake. For the majority of our work, yes.
Okay, do I hear a motion to accept the service agreement contract with Motorola?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first.
Second.
Dan second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, concession stand food. Terry.
Good evening, Mayor, Council.
Hello. Oh.
We've compiled a list of candy and food from the concessions at the pool, and we thought it would be a good idea to offer that list up to the school district to see if they were interested in any of that in their concession. We have an attached list here that shows you what they were interested in for items, and we asked them if they'd be willing to purchase those at the city cost. They said they didn't have any issues with that, so we were asking council to approve the sale of this list here that they prefer at city cost.
Any questions? So do I hear a motion to allow for selling the leftover products from the concession stand to the school district at our cost? Gina first. Okay, second. Charles? Any questions or discussion?
Looks to me like they can.
Okay, all in favor?
Their inventory pretty well. Yeah. Not an awful lot left for summer's go.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you, Terry. All right. 4.7, resolution to surplus vehicle. Terry.
The city owns a 1982 dump truck / snowplow. At one time, it was loaned to the fire department from Public Works several years ago. The fire department no longer has a need for this vehicle and is not needed by the Public Works Department. Therefore, staff's recommendation is to surplus this vehicle.
Questions?
It's a backup snowplow. You sure you don't want it?
We have plenty.
Depends on the year.
Yeah. Let's get in time to get to the Booker auction.
Yes, that's where it'll go.
Okay, do I hear a motion to surplus the 1982 F-70 Ford dump truck?
So moved.
Dan first?
Second.
Okay, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you, Terry. That passes. Okay, 4.8, resolution to accept the City Hall ADA door retrofit project. Terry.
It's me again.
Yeah?
So we've done some work on City Hall for ADA compliant, and we've retrofitted the front doors with ADA openers and closures. We've adjusted the council room doors to a 5-pound pull to the WAC code. We've added a cabinet up front for handicap access, and the electrical was done by Mr. Bill Burke's refrigeration there. All doors, as you can see here, all doors, is their cost was $39.86.47. Gilbert cabinets, which did the counter, was $6.46. Burke's refrigeration for the electrical was $1,723. The total project costs $6,355.74. Staff recommends that they accept the City Hall ADA retrofit project as complete.
Questions?
The only thing I have, I don't want to nitpick this, but you're sure that counter is the right height?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do I hear a motion to accept the City Hall ADA project as complete?
I so move.
Okay, Taylor first.
Second.
Dan second. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you, Terry. That passes. Okay, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business tonight?
I've got something I just want to bring up really quick, and it was on that last subject that we just did on ADA compliant. When I was going through the accounts payable, I noticed that there was the one there for it, and we held a 50% retainage. And after I talked to you, Eamon, I went back and I did look at the contract, and I noticed it was in the contract. But I feel that's way too much. I don't think if the contractor actually knew he was going to have a 50% retainage, he probably would have added a lot more. He probably didn't see the contract until after he was awarded the bid. That 50% retainage, I know that didn't even cover the contractor's materials for those supplies. I know what they run. I don't think that would lead us to a very competitive pricing, because if a contractor knew that we were going to hold a 50% retainage for up to 60 days, he's going to up that price quite a bit for his interest and his time of holding that rest of that money. I know with some other retainages that we've seen with the Main Street project, we were holding 5% with it. So we might want to look at that for small projects and stuff, so we could get a fair and competitive pricing on those items.
Sounds like a good idea.
And so Councilmember Johnson pointed out today, we're going to take a look at that and see. I agree, it seems excessive.
Good.
Sounds like a business owner talking.
I told Eamon, you know, if I had to bid it and I knew I was going to have 50% retainage, I'd either mark it up quite a bit or not bid the job at all.
Small ones like that.
Yeah. Any other unfinished business? Okay, new business.
I got one other thing on new business. The county commissioners have did their redistricting, and you might pay attention, we do now have two county commissioners that cover citizens of Ohio. District 2 is now covering, I believe, from 7th Street and from Ash, that corner of Port of Town. So, and the third district commissioner, which was the Ritzville commissioner, is now covering the line right up to Reynolds Road. So, for our county commissioners, because of the population growth in the city, they all three commissioners have to have an equal amount of citizens that they represent.
Okay.
So those have changed quite a bit.
Any other new business? OK, Okay, council will also receive the following department head September reports. I want to encourage you to read it. There's some interesting stuff in there from all departments. Very interesting. Mayor's announcements for October 24th. The Audit Exit Conference will be this Wednesday, October 26th at 10. Council members are welcome to attend. So come if you can. Number two, the General Government Budget Committee meeting is this Thursday, October 27th at noon, and a light lunch will be served. So if you're on that one. Number three, grand opening of the Juvenile Alternatives to Detention Achievement Center will be Friday, November 4th at 11. And this will be at 165 North First Avenue, lunch to be served. I want to encourage as many people as possible to come. They've thought out of the box and found something new they're trying, and it's been very successful for them. And it'd be really great if all of us could come and hear what they're doing and how successful. I've got to sit down with Juan and visit with him some about that. Anything else by council? Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Mm-hmm.